Welcome to ICA Podcast 9. The goal of ICA Podcast 9 is to provide insightful information about the industry to members and non-members of Intercoiffure America Canada, the voice for salon owners. Each week, we'll bring business, educational, and inspirational topics to aid anyone with ties to the beauty industry. We will have a revolving series of hosts, pulling from industry leaders as hosts and guests to keep things lively and interesting, and make you wonder what's coming next. Now, here's this week's edition of ICA Podcast 9.
Hi, everybody. I'm Sam Bricado, and I'm so excited to be here today on behalf of Intercoiffure America and Canada. I have a wonderful guest with me, Leslie Rusty. Leslie is a super passionate person about a topic that I'm extremely passionate about myself. And it mostly is because I have a son that's a hairstylist who's had to have licenses in 6 states because he moves around a lot. And what a hassle it's been, Leslie, for him to get his licenses. I mean, it's just nonstop. And it's been 10 years, I think, we've worked on different states and all. So I'm super excited about our topic. Leslie, why don't you take away and do a quick introduction of yourself?
Okay. So many of you know me. My name is Leslie Rusty. Many of you know me in the industry. In terms of my subject matter expertise in infection control, right? You've all seen me do things like barbicide certification and those types of things. And as I told Sam, 2020, COVID and 2021 really kind of burned me out on my passion for infection control. I think it burned everybody out. And in late 2020, the Department of Defense issued a grant application for compact legislation in occupations other than healthcare, which I'll go back and explain all that in a second. But if you know me, you know that my training is as a nurse, that I've worked as a nurse, and I have had the benefit of working as a nurse under a compact. A compact would have taken care of your son's issues, because what a compact does, just like your driver's license, the reason that you might have a driver's license, let's say in Louisiana, but you can also drive in New York and Rhode Island and California, is because all of the states agreed, all 50 states, that if you are safe enough in one state, you are safe enough to drive in all the states. Yeah. Now, as you know, with your driver's license, if you get in trouble in another state, you're still going to get in trouble, right? If you run a red light or you turn right on red and that's not the rule in that state, you're still going to get in trouble in that state. But your home state, the state that you reside in, is who has control over giving you a license, but also taking it away. So compacts have been around for a long time. Some interesting compacts, like one of the first compacts was between New York and New Jersey. And it was over the water that they share, right? It was a compact to share all of the water space between New York and New Jersey. There's a Colorado River compact that talks about how water gets used in all of the states that use the water in Colorado, on the Colorado River. So it's really more than just occupations, but right now we're moving into an occupational licensing compact time where we're moving outside of healthcare. Currently, the biggest compact is the nursing compact. It's 20 years old and it's in 40 states. So I can leave home. I happen to reside in the state of Kansas. I have a multi-state license, and that means that I can leave my house and go to 39 other states and just show up and start working. I don't have to stop by the occupational licensing office. I don't have to stop by the Board of Nursing. They all agree that I am safe enough to work in all those states. One of the other things that comes with that is that I am now on a national database of nurses that every state can see, and all of the activity around my licensure is available for everyone to see, which is a really big selling point on this compact. We've been trying to develop national databases for a lot of reasons, but in this industry where there's a lot of license fraud and even human trafficking, some of the unintended consequences that could be beneficial consequences of this database are to reduce things like license fraud, because now everybody's visible to every other state. Sort of like when they pull you over in another state, they can see what has happened, where you got pulled over in every other state on your driver's license, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. And, you know, one of the words that when we spoke before about a week ago, the word safety, you know, I think about the day-to-day operations of my salons here, and safety is so important. I mean, you want to make people look good. You want to make sure people are happy. You want to make sure they come back But you definitely want to make sure that they're safe, whether it's the bleach that's being used or color or just a pair of scissors or anything like that. So the idea of licensing that develops a box of safety, that's that piece of it is the same everywhere. And I think that the ability to carry that from place to place is really, really important. Could you just expand on that piece a bit?
Yeah, that is a really good point. So one of the things a lot of states are concerned about is that the compact does not dictate hours, right? It doesn't say that you have to have any set number of hours. It simply says you have to have been trained into that, whatever your home state's requirements are, and you have to have passed a national exam, not a specific exam. And I think what you're saying and what I'm hearing you say, and which is why it was written that way, was that the state's only requirement in a licensure capacity is to ensure that you are safe. It is not to ensure that you are good. We all know lots of people that got licensed that aren't good at what they do, but they're safe, right? And that is the only responsibility of the state. The school wants them to be good, but the state wants them just to be safe. And I think everybody can agree that we can teach you to be safe in less hours than some states require. And so if we go with that premise, that what we're saying when somebody moves from state to state is that we are sending you, somebody may be coming to work in your state. I guarantee you they're safe. They may not be good, but I guarantee you that they're safe. I think we can all see that while our state may have more hours than another state in the compact, what we're just trying to ensure is that the people move amongst the states that are safe, right? So it's all around safety, to your point. You know, when I talk to people in the industry, particularly people that are owners, managers of salons, everybody acknowledges that where you really become good at your technique is on the floor, right? That you could be in school for 5,000 hours and you're still not going to be confident, which is a big portion of how well you do your job. It's just going to take time, right?
Absolutely.
So this compact stays away from the way you get to be licensed and just talks about you being licensed. So we have to make some assumptions. We have to make an assumption that every state wants people to be safe. There's no state that's like, yeah, we don't really care. Just hand them a license, right? That doesn't happen. And we have to make the assumption that while there are some people that would choose to do things the wrong way, 90% of people are just really trying to figure out a way to work somewhere else without having to get a license.
Yeah.
The reason that the Department of Defense sponsored this compact grant was that their interest is in military families, military spouses, military members that are on active duty, but also veterans, so that you don't see somebody moving, being moved from state to state as part of their military career, and their spouse can't work, or their spouse. I had somebody tell me a story that they had, I can't remember where they got trained, but their spouse got stationed in Idaho and they had to go back to school for 500 hours to get their license in Idaho. So they did it. The day they graduated, their spouse got moved again. You know, it's that kind of frustration, right?
It really is frustrating.
It's so frustrating. And what we see is tons of bills out there for two things. We see lots of bills around military spouses. The military has really made that a key goal of theirs, that their families are treated well when they get moved around, their active duty personnel. But we also see a lot of universal licensure bills. So that's a license for license bill. You see them in places like Arizona and North Carolina and California. If you come here and you show me you have a license, we will give you a license. So one of the things I say to everybody is, you're already letting everybody in. You know, you're already letting these people in. So why not do it with the benefit of a national database that helps keep surveillance over potentially license fraud and human trafficking?
Yeah, bad players.
Right.
There's always going to be people trying to take advantage of the system, matter what the system is.
Leslie,
could you spend a moment on the price of licenses? You told me about your license in Kansas, but you said that one that takes you everywhere in the compact, there's a little bit difference in the fee system and how that fee system works to the benefit of the states.
Exactly. So the compact, when the compact is what we call stood up, when it's actually activated, it will be when the first seven states pass legislation. Those first states, it might be seven or 10 in the same year, those first few states will make up the initial what we call commission. So every state would send a commissioner, and those commissioners would meet once a month. Those initial commissioners will make the rules around how the law is applied in the state. So those initial states have a ton of power because they will make rules around how things are applied. But there is some cost, obviously, involved in all of that. There's costs that the states may incur in being part of the database. So the way that that's handled so that the states don't take a hit is that, for example, for me, to get my nursing license in Kansas, I did look it up since we last talked because I couldn't remember the fee. To get a single state Kansas nursing license is $75. For me to get a multi-state license is $125. So that extra amount of money goes to the state's participation in the national database and any fees of the commission to continue to run.
Got it. So one of the things as a salon owner, and I'm sure a lot of people listening to this, particularly Intercom field members who have hundreds of employees, one of our problems is a person will come in from some state and they don't have a license here yet. So we simply can't hire them immediately. And I would think that in days like these, when we're really trying to get the best that we can possibly get, I hear a lot of people talking about, just give me someone with a pulse and I'll hire them if they have a license. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to go there, but I think this is such low-hanging fruit as it relates to even in out what the professional salon industry looks like. I mean, I think it makes it look so much stronger. I can remember traveling around doing hair shows all over the country for a long time. And I always talked about what I used to always call a national license. Yep. I said, we need a national license. We need a place where someone can fly over here and work. So I'm super excited about that. And I wanted to ask you another question. And that had to do when it comes to the actual hairstylist and then the consumer themselves. How do they interface and the benefits of the type of licensing? I think it's kind of obvious, but I think you've got to a little bit deeper.
Yeah, there are benefits sort of all across the board, if you will. I mean, the obvious benefit to the licensee is I can just go work somewhere. I don't have to stop anywhere. I just go and I just start working, right? I would be working, let's say in my case, I would have a Kansas license that says it's multi-state. So I go work in all those other states, unless I do something wrong. I just work and I come home, right? If I were to move to another state that is a member state, they would automatically issue me a home state license, another multi-state license. So let's say at the moment it's triggered for me to get a new driver's license in another state. I would also notify the Board of Cosmetology and say, hey, I've moved here. So I need a new home state license because now I've moved my home. Like I've moved my residence, not just gone there and worked for 3 months.
You're talking about specifically about domicile.
Yes.
Because, so for instance, I my wife and I, we split between New York City and Louisiana. Yep. I've never gotten a New York license, and neither has she, a driver's license. Yep. I have Louisiana and New York hairstyling license. But that's because we split our tax returns, which is not cheap, but we do it. Because we just want to keep everything in place that we've always had in Louisiana. So you're talking about domicile. Change your domicile, then you change. But otherwise,
just keep working. Yeah. All fine. So that's the benefit to the licensee. Then we think about what is the benefit to a state. The benefit to a state is obviously that national database, right? That transparent national database. Right now, if you go to another state and apply for a license through reciprocity, one of the things they will ask your previous state for is certification that you have a good license and good standing and you aren't currently under investigation. That said, most states have laws that ban them from telling another state what that is. So people get hung up in that. That would not occur anymore. The new state would obviously be able to see what's going on. It would be far more transparent. But the benefit to the state is that it makes it, there's less administration, right? When I say license for license, you still have to show up and show me your license from wherever, Louisiana, and I still have to go through the process of issuing you a new license, which may take days, weeks, or even months in some cases. So that's the benefit to the state, reduced administration.
So a question, I'm bouncing around a little bit, but that's my nature. Another question is real important to me because I confirmed it recently. If someone went to school in New York and they want to move to the two states that don't accept the Louisiana New York 1000 hours. Yeah. So to me, if I were still a school owner, which I was a school owner for maybe 15 years, if I own schools, I would say, wait a minute, my license that I'm selling and teaching people is more valuable with a compact than without, because I can say to you, yeah, you're going to pay $15,000 or $18,000 or $20,000 to go to school, but you can go work anywhere with this license. Is that correct?
That is correct. Any member state. And let's be clear again on, at 1,000 hours, you are still teaching people to be safe. Nobody gets injured more frequently in New York, Massachusetts, Texas, California, Virginia. Nobody gets more injured in 1,000-hour states than in 1,500-hour states. That's not a thing. It may be that there is better technique taught, right, in those extended hours, but nobody's getting injured more frequently. So it is a better selling feature for a 1,000-hour state, but also it shouldn't scare any 1,500-hour state, because the crux of the license, the safety, is still being taught because they're still taking that national exam, which is based on safety, right? Whether they take the PSI exam or the NIC exam. Now, one thing that it does for the industry as a whole that I do not want people to miss out on is that it starts to tie states together. It's sort of a life raft. The Occupational Licensing Compact ties these states together, weaves them together with legislation, and it makes it nearly impossible to deregulate a state that is currently part of a compact, because you can't just pop them out, right? You can't just say, yeah, this state would just be popped out. So from a deregulation standpoint, first off, the Institute for Justice hates these. And part of the reason they hate them is it makes it harder to deregulate in those states. So when we're trying to shore up professional licensing, this is a good vehicle for doing that. Some people may not be old enough to remember this. I remember it. But in the 80s, when they wanted to take all the states to driving 55, you know, drive 55, stay alive. That was a big deal, right? Yeah. And there were a few states like Montana, the Dakotas, that did not want to go to 55. They wanted to stay like 70 miles an hour. And the big talk was that they went to 55 because they didn't want to lose federal funding. And that was true. But they also would have been kicked out of the driver's license compact. They would not have been able to stay in the compact, which would mean in the 80s, if you had had a North Dakota license plate on your car, you couldn't drive in any other states. Yeah. And by the way, nobody else could drive in your state. So you see how this weaving of states together through legislation really solidifies the best interest of the industry as a whole, right? Absolutely. So, and that is important.
Yeah, it definitely a good point. Well, look, we only have a couple more minutes and before we wrap up. And a couple of things. One is, you know, is there any call to action that we and our membership of Intercorp Fewer America in Canada, that we can actually do something about this and to be helpful?
Absolutely. So we have taken all 50 states and looked at them and sort of, and I say we, I'm working with the CSG, the Council of State Governments, to methodically go through every state and say, where are states that we could get this introduced still in 2023? Where are states we might start working on for 2024? We're currently, we just got filed, a bill got filed today in Georgia. So we're filed in Kentucky, Nebraska, Arizona, and Georgia. So those states are already filed. We anticipate filings in Delaware and Ohio this week or next week, and maybe North Carolina. North Carolina is a possibility that we're looking at. If you live in a state where you feel like a compact would benefit you, reach out to me. You know, they can reach me through you. Reach out to me. You can send me an email at my personal email address, which is LG Rosti. So LGROSTE at Gmail. Let me know, do you know a legislator, a state? Remember, these are state bills, not federal. So I don't need your U.S. congressman. I need your local representative, your local assemblyman or a senator, whatever, however it's structured in your state. And we'll reach out. We'll see if there is a tape for it in your state.
What about board contacts, state board of college in any state?
So what I will tell you is I have made it a commitment of mine that I will never go in a place where the board is super against anything I'm doing, right? Mm-hmm. So I have helped states go to 1,000 hours, but I've helped them because the board wants to go there. So I've helped them with how can you do it? In this state, in the compact, I have gone to the state boards in the states. I don't want to go in and introduce legislation over their head. I want to make sure that they're in support of the compact. We don't need the boards, but we sure love their support. You know, I don't want to go against them. So if what you call me and say is my board hates this idea, but I really want legislation, I may push them back to 2024 till we have some idea of how successful it's going to be. But if what you think, I know most of the boards, I know somebody on the boards, and if you think your state is a good candidate, I will tell you, for example, California has never had an occupational licensing compact. And, you know, the nursing one's been around for 20 years. I was at their state board meeting last Monday, and the board itself is sponsoring legislation. So it tells you there's a taste for it, even in a state. Look, the number one and number two states that ask for license reciprocity in California are New York and Texas. That's their highest number of state, you know, participants that want to come into the state of California. If we can, you know, get that moving, that makes it easier for people to go to California and work temporarily for the summer, for the winter, whatever. I'm here to make it better for the industry. I always say that my new job is industry forward legislation. So if I can do something to help, please let me know.
That's wonderful, Leslie. You know, it's so exciting talking to you and learning so much more about this. And it's also exciting to see a licensed professional that's not a hairstylist have so much passion about our industry. And I regret that we don't spend a little more time on your bio or how expansive it is, but I think this information is so important for our membership. And I'm not sure if you're going to be in Las Vegas with us. I think we're going to get
there. I am.
Oh, fabulous. So I think this podcast will be out before that. So there'll be that information, and we'll be able to go from there. You know, we could carry on for, you know, another half an hour, I'm sure, easily. Maybe that's another podcast down the road. Who knows? But I just want to say on behalf of Sheila Wilson, our president, and Intercorp Bureau America in Canada, it's just such a thrill and a pleasure and honor to have you working so hard on this. And again, I'm going to be selfish and say, for me personally, I look at my son trying to get licenses in six states. Great energy, but I really appreciate it. And it's been wonderful having you here today on the podcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I who knew I was going to find a second industry late in life and enjoy it so much. So I'm really passionate about it. And I hope that people will reach out if they have questions or concerns, or even think that there's some hope in their state and they didn't hear me mention it.
So thank you to everybody that listened in. On behalf of Intercorp Bureau America and Canada, I'm Sam Brocato, and we have enjoyed talking to you today. Thank you. Hold on. Okay. All right. So I think that went well.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't over talk you, did I? I attempt to talk.
No.
Okay.
No, I do the same thing. So we're all good.
Yeah. Well, I've never hosted a podcast.
Oh, you haven't?
No, that's why I have all this light on my face here. I'm so, but no, I've been on podcasts, but I don't think I've ever actually hosted one. I had a feeling that what would happen, which has happened, is if I hosted one, I'd go, wow, this is really fun.
It is fun.
I listen to so many of them. I listen to two or three podcasts almost every day because I ride the bike. Like, I'm going to go jump on the bicycle right now and ride down to Soho to our salon. And I'll be listening to finishing up on one with an anthropologist. But I mean, I listen to all kinds of stuff. So anyway.
That's so funny. Well, you know, I had never even been on one or anything. And then 2020 rolled around and I was like inundated. I was on one after another. And finally, I kind of got tired of it. Yeah. So I started interviewing other people. So I would find people in the industry that I just thought were interesting people. And I would interview them and we'd put them up on our website and we got all kinds of views from it, but it was fun to do, like, you know, to ask the questions. So
speaking of that, when we hang up, I'm going to listen in to Sam Dia is on a podcast with Cunity right now.
That report is amazing. That is a really nice report they did.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
We start at 1 o'clock today, our 51 one-on-ones with our employees. It takes a whole month of February. Yeah. We're presenting a big chunk of that to every one of them because it just shows if you work the program will work for you and it'll be amazing. So
super exciting. Well, I'll be in New York in March. And so maybe I'll look you up when I'm there. I'm actually going to see my son, not really going to work, but I'll look you up.
Well, I'd love you just to pop in and say hello. We're down in Soho. It's a nice neighborhood to walk around.
He lives in the East Village, so not too far.
All right. Okay. Well, have a great day, Leslie.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. I'll
have
see
a good
you.
Bike ride. Okay. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for the ICA Podcast 9 podcast. Be sure to tune in next week for more industry insight and information. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast too and share it with your friends in the industry. Our only goal is to bring people together and share information with those that need it. Intracoiffure America Canada is proud to be the voice for salon owners. For more information about us, visit intercoiffure.com. That's intercoiffure.com.